fair to evaluate Dean Evason without a full deck?
Eh,
I don't know if I'd go that far. We'll discuss on today's episode of Locked on Wild.
You're Locked on Wild. Your daily podcast on the Minnesota Wild. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Wild, your daily Minnesota Wild podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and your favorite podcast platforms so you don't miss out on any of our new episodes throughout the week. On today's episode of Locked On Wild, Judd Zolgad of Score North and Judd's Hockey Show joins us as we talk Dean Evason and the Wild coaching staff. We'll talk about the path forward for this Minnesota Wild team, and we'll look at how some of the other teams in similar situations are doing in the postseason so far. My name is Seth Topol, your daily Minnesota Wild insider. As mentioned, we are joined by Judd Zolgad today of Judd's Hockey Show and Score North. Judd, first off, very happy to have you back on the show. I think everybody is still in a similar spot to where we were when the season ended, is that there just is a lot of looking at everything and just saying why. Why did this happen? Why are we in the exact same spot that we were in a year ago now after the first round of the postseason? And a lot of good questions have been asked, but it is interesting because we haven't really seen a lot of answers to that question per se from the front office, from Bill Guerin. It doesn't look like we're going to see many of them either, which I think is interesting considering what we've seen the last 2 years.
You know, Seth, first off, it's really sad because in watching the playoffs now, and I love all sports, but I am in the thought process of a lot of folks that the Stanley Cup playoffs are the best playoff in all sports. And in watching the commitment and dedication that it takes to get through this absolute grind, and I've always said it's so much fun to watch. It looks like as a player, it's going through hell, and like there's a commitment. And yeah, I think what gets me, and there's plenty to get to, I think what gets me the most off the top is this, though. This Wild team was built so differently than last season. And this was supposed to be a team that could get in the playoffs and at least be super competitive. And to have it unfold with really a different structure of a team, to have it unfold almost identical to what was another disappointing ouster against the Blues team that, again, was not great. It's, you know, as a fan, as a person who would love to see a long playoff run and cover one, and I did back in 2003, which is now 20 years ago. You know, there's nothing like a playoff run in your town. It's just fantastic. And so, yeah, I think that you definitely hit it perfectly. There's a lot of questions, and it feels like they weren't answered. And I think that there is, how can I put this delicately? I think there is a sort of a lack of accountability this time for what transpired. There were a lot of excuses, not necessarily from the Wild, but from their defenders. And then it just sort of came to an end. And I'm not sure about you. That doesn't sit well with me. Like, at some point in time, there need to be answers. There need to be, and it can't always be, well, Eriksson Ek was hurt, because guess what? Look around the playoffs, man. Tons of guys get hurt. Tons of key players get hurt. This team has not gotten past first round since 2015. And Bill Guerin is here and was brought here to change that. And I think it's really a shame that he built a team that I really thought was going to be competitive and tough. And man, those last two games, especially 5 and 6, they went out with nothing more than a whimper. There was nothing more than a whimper from that team. And that's a shame.
Well, and people may wonder, you know, does battle level really make that much of a difference? And I think you point to the Seattle Kraken, you point to the Florida Panthers, especially in the first round for the Panthers. There's no question Boston was the more talented team, but you play into that underdog, you show that you want it more, and next thing you know, you're up 3-0 on the Toronto Maple Leafs, who, again, probably the more talented team, but the Panthers are the team that seems to want it more and has that higher battle level.
And you know what's funny there? Look at a few people in particular. And I'll start off with this one. And you tell me, who is the Wild's even close to equivalent? Matthew Tkachuk, who's a heartbeat guy, who basically drags his team. And the best part about this is the Florida Panthers were a train wreck, right? Like a season long, they might miss the playoffs. Paul Maurice might be one and done. And two things transpired late in the season. One is on the bench, I think in a game at Toronto, Maurice went ballistic, absolutely just melted down. And he's probably about as nice a coach as you could possibly get. And, you know, the F-bombs were going nuts. And just as importantly, Matthew Tkachuk's dad, Keith, Big Walt, who was a tough, you know, same as his kids type of player, publicly called the entire team soft. And you know what's funny? Now, if that had been, you know, just a dad, the players would have like been, screw you, right? Yeah. But it's Walt Tkachuk, and he basically called them all soft, and they're like, oh my God. I just don't know who the Wild has like Matt Tkachuk. And I used to think it was a few guys, but again, Seth, I mean, 5-6, and I don't know if you saw this on his podcast, Ryan Carter tried to blame the fans for game six, saying that the fans, you know, started to boo and they bailed on the team and that's a tough thing. You know, no, man, I don't blame them one bit. We both watched that game there, right?
Mm-hmm.
They deserve what they got. Like those fans, they pay a ton. They have expectations, which they should. To put any blame on the paying public for that, what was, I thought, two games of just absolutely gutless hockey is unforgivable. And, you know, I always come back to, at least, at the very least, the eye test. If that thing had gone seven games and the Wild had worked their asses off and lost, okay, that sucks. Too bad. But, you know, after, what, game three and game four, which I thought was a lot of fun, I thought the Wild did not play the perfect game for them. But as a fan, that was a fun game. So no real criticism there. To come back in game five and then game six and roll over like that. And here's my problem, too. And this is where I got to think Guerin privately was very disappointed. Didn't you feel like in game five and six, the first sign of adversity, the Wild just shrunk and went away?
Yep.
What's that all about?
Yeah, you can't have that. You can't have that in the postseason. I mean, and like you said, we both had the same viewpoint of those final few games at home. And I even went to the point of tweeting out, This crowd, like in game six, was on par with what we saw in game three. They needed a reason to go off, though, and they just never got one. It was early on in the game. You had that flurry of activity, and then all of a sudden the Stars just go right back down and score. And after that, it just, there was nothing. Like, you have to give the fans a reason to get into it in order to have them have that ample noise throughout.
And what I don't get is, so Hartman had a great chance, and he didn't score. Okay, it's hockey. Yeah, guess what? It's the playoffs. Of course he didn't score. You're not going to score. Like, this is not January. There's going to be a battle in front of the net, hopefully, for every puck, and you're probably going to get your butt kicked at times. But that's not an excuse to be like, well, I didn't score on that, and then things went wrong. You know, the goal at the end of, what was it, the first or second period, when Zuccarello missed the net and the Stars got a breakaway basically from it. And like, with 1 second left scored, that's inexcusable. So like all of these things. And that's where I know Guerin was defensive. And I know in his end of season presser, he was defending his team. I don't know. They were worth it. I don't know that they were worth it. I think I would have said, look, you know, from top to bottom, we were not good, not even close to being good enough. The disappointment must be huge. And I get the salary cap thing. I get the constraints. I understand all that. I understand Ek was out. But again, they still didn't pass the eye test.
Yeah.
And, you know, how in game one, how on God's green earth does Ryan Suter get away with cross-checking Kaprizov violently 2 to 3 times And no one did. I mean, you got Ryan Reeves active. No one did a thing. That's like why you have Ryan Reeves. Go out there and straighten that out. You know, it's Ryan Suter. That's his gutless thing. He's not that good. You know, go out there and yes, you might get a penalty, but it's worth it to set the tone.
Mm-hmm.
And they never set a tone. They never did. I thought they were going to, and they never really did, and it came back to bite them.
We'll shift our attention to Dean Evason and the rest of the Wild coaching staff as we continue today's episode of Lockdown Wild with Judd Zolgad after this. There is no I in team. There, however, is an I in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed is a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed Data US. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/LockedOn. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit right now at Indeed.com/LockedOn. Indeed.com/LockedOn. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Continuing today's episode of Lockdown Wild, once again, thank you for making Lockdown Wild your first listen each and every day. For the everydayers, make sure you check out today's second episode with Wild emergency goalie Connor Beaupre talking about life as an e-bug. Look for that later on here today. But back to the discussion with Judd Zolgad of Score North, talking now about Dean Evason and the coaching staff and what needs to change going forward. Let's talk about Dean a little bit, because Bill Guerin had he had a lengthy stay on Dan Barrero's show on KFAN, almost an hour, and he got into a lot of what was discussed at the season-ending presser. But he did at one point say that it's hard to evaluate the coaching staff kind of on what has happened. They had a good regular season, but they're playing with one hand tied behind their back. They're playing with a smaller deck than other teams are, which is a factual statement. But like, looking at this coaching staff, we've seen it in two straight postseasons where there is little to no adjustment. The special teams end up being a disaster from the get-go, and you just keep kind of running your head into the wall over and over again. So with having heard that from Guerin, do you buy that as a reason to just kind of let the coaching staff off the hook?
Oh, absolutely not. Oh, no. And the next time that I'm a playoff team, he's not my coach. Here's what I think might be. So total guess here, okay? Like, this is just a guess. What I think might be transpiring here, though, is I think they got to play the kids next year. So, like, they've got – and Rossi cannot, you cannot send him down again. Yep. In the name of, he's going to clean up in Iowa, and ain't that swell. He needs to be here. I don't care if he fails. You're now at a point in his career and life where you can't protect him. You got to find out. And you know what? If he's a third line guy, that's too bad. That sucks. But at least you know that. I would think that there's going to be an assistant coaching change. Like the power, I got to think the power play or penalty kill guy, probably the penalty kill guy, is in big trouble. Now, that's not going to move the fan, you know, oh yeah, they got a new penalty kill coach. So that's not going to do it. The salary cap thing is too bad, but don't forget when Bill made that move, he's like, this is not an excuse. This is not, and he's right. It's not. I still applaud the move.
Mm-hmm.
Suter and Parisi were a problem in that locker room. The culture had to change. Bill changed it. Nobody knew the bleeping salary cap with new TV contracts. Good job, Gary Bettman, you know, was going to stay. Good business right there. But anyway, I got to think privately, Bill is singing a much different tune, because you're right. This is two very different teams. Like, Bill Guerin went out and gave Dean ingredients for hamburgers last year and steak this year, and both meals sucked. So, you know, at the most important time. And so I got to think he's singing a different tune privately, but you're right. Lack of adjustments, a certain nervousness behind the bench. And, you know, I said this, Seth, starting in the winter, and I think it bit him right in the butt again, this constant riding of the officials that he does. And, you know, every call, somebody's out to get him and his team. It's ridiculous. Pick and choose your spots. I got no problem with debating it and getting upset. But every call, Dean has that look of this is BS. No, it's not. But I mean, what did he do again in game six? A year ago in game six, he finally played Cam Talbot and it was far too late. And on that one, I don't blame Cam for being ticked off. This year in game six, I'm going to put Zuccarello on the second line and Johansson on the first line. No, I'm not going to do that. And Matt Zuccarello, and I know he had two goals in game three, and I know I think he had like 5 points, deserved to be demoted off that line long before game six.
Mm-hmm.
Gustav Nyquist, who deserved to be promoted to a top six, never got to a top six. Dean Evason has, as the kids like to say, a large sample size of failing in the playoffs wherever he's coached. In juniors, it was 6 trips. Twice he got past the first round. That's the highlight. In the American Hockey League with the Nashville Predators affiliate in Milwaukee, 6 seasons, 4 playoff trips, 1-12. Never won a first round series. And now here also, he has never won a series. That's not a coincidence. That is, you know, it was one thing back in the day to debate Boudreaux and game 7, right? Because like game 7s are sort of toss-ups and weird. And I don't know that there's a good sample size there to say you can't coach in game 7. But I do know when across the board, your playoff resume is this bad. And then we see it with a lack of adjustments, a lack of feel. You know, whoever started poor Marc-Andre Fleury in game 2, which was ridiculous. You know, Gustafson's a kid coming off a 51 save game with a day off. And they're like, we're going to keep the rotation going. No, Dean's not my guy for the playoffs. But if you're going to force Dean and just, if you're going to take away some of the veterans now and make him play kids, then I guess that's fine as long as but he needs to lose some of his coveted vets. Like, we can't continue this. If Dean could, he would play nothing but himself, you know?
Yeah.
If he could copy Goudreau, he would just have 18 skating Freddie Goudreaus. And so if you take away a few of his vets, not Goudreau, because that would be cruel and unusual punishment to him. And you give him Rossi and some of the kids, because I don't know what your takeaway was on this, but I found it odd. You know, Bill Guerin at his end of the oppressor was talking about the kids. And he's like, I wish I could expedite this and bring them up. But they're not all going to come here at the same time. Like, you could expedite it starting next year with some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not going to be this, as I said on my show, it's not going to be like transitioning from Saved by the Bell, the original cast, to the new class.
Yeah.
And it's just a bunch of different people. You're going to slowly but surely work these kids in. So it was sort of a weird thing. It's like, it's far within your control to make sure that some of those kids are playing next year. And it's going to have to come at the expense of some of these grinded out vets that Dean loves, who, if they can't win in the playoffs, are not worthy of being on your team.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny too, Judd. You look at these last 3 postseasons. You had the Blues last year, the Vegas Golden Knights series a couple of years ago, where you lose in 7 games because Jonas Brodin gets hurt. And it's funny because you have that series that maybe comes down to just Brodin's loss. And then you see what you have the last couple of seasons. And I don't think it's a coincidence either. This team, 2 years ago, the Wild were, I think, the 3rd most penalized team in the league. And this year, they were still in the top 10. You are, as a team, the coach that coaches you. And so a lot of that, and fights during games is one thing. You can maybe throw those penalties off to the side. But so many others that just seem preventable, like just tripping a guy because he blows right by you. Like, a lot of that comes down to coaching.
Well, yeah. And look, I don't care. I mean, your special teams and PK in particular against the Blues a year ago was awful. And you said, we're going to change it and improve it. And you did in the regular season. And when push came to shove in the playoffs, it was terrible again. And you know what? Ideally, you don't take penalties. But when you know that you do, you better damn sure be able to kill the majority of said power plays for the opponent. And that part of the thing, and this drives me crazy, part of the thing is the analytics crew that thinks all faceoffs are meaningless. Well, we saw what happens when you lose a penalty on the penalty kill, when you lose a faceoff in your own zone, it takes, I think Dallas proved, approximately 4 seconds of time to score goals.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, those are things where you have to improve. You have to find improvements there. Like, I think what drives me absolutely up the wall about this loss was nothing about how it transpired shocked me as far as the fundamental breakdowns. Okay, you lose faceoffs. You're already questionable on the PK. Dallas has some skill. And you knew going in that Dallas had more higher-end players. That was not a surprise. But then Kaprizov scores the goal in game one, disappears for the most part. Boldy played the role of Kevin Fiala in the playoffs to a T. Like, all of these things, it's like, how are we seeing this again? And I just don't think it can be absolving everyone, and the coach in particular, because of the salary cap. You know, that's what makes no sense. And I can't believe Guerin privately believes that. I mean, look at the trades with salary cap space, because it's goofy. Look at the trades that they made at the deadline. They brought in a lot, a lot. And yet it didn't change a thing. And again, Nyquist, who's playing, who deserved a top six role without question. They just, you know, third line. And the problem with the Wild third line, especially with no Ek, is they just have grinded out centers. And the Wild's convinced, and Guerin's talked about this, he's convinced the center, because the wingers now are such good passers and adaptable, that the center, it's not like the old days. Okay, that's probably true in the regular season, but in the playoffs, you need more than that. And so there was just, it's just, it really felt like they had a roster construction that had a chance here. And in some ways, through coaching and the roster itself, it sabotaged itself.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. So can we expect some big roster moves coming up this offseason? We'll discuss with Judd Zulgad of Score North as we finish today's episode of Locked On Wild after this. Final segment of today's episode of Locked On Wild. Once again, thank you for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day of the week. If you are a first-time listener, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe and stick with us here throughout the offseason. If you're an everydayer, we've got a second episode for you today talking with Wild emergency goaltender Connor Beaupre about what it means to be an e-bug in the NHL. Let's get back to the discussion with Judd Zulgad of Score North as we look now into some of the biggest moves that the offseason could have in store. You know, just to kind of transition and finish up today with just like, what, where do we go from here? What do we see in the offseason? We know there's not a lot of money to play with.
Right.
And you've got to get Filip Gustavsson done because he turned into just a sensational goalie that I think you have to feel like you can build around him, and then that's less pressure on Jesper Wallstad, but also then you've got that as your 1-2 punch. I mean, come on. That would be just an amazing tandem to go to, because then if you have a goalie that sustains an injury, you're pretty set. Look at all these teams in the postseason now that have had a couple of different goalies that have gotten them to where they're at. Like, you have to have it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that the summer has to include Dumba leaving. You cannot bring him back. I don't care what you think of him. You can't bring him back. He's going to get paid. He was marvelous in a few of the playoff games, but you know, Seth, we didn't see that the majority of the season. Like, there were months where Brodin would cover for him and did a marvelous job. I think there have to be some tough discussions. Here's one. Is Jared Spurgeon a playoff player? Jared Spurgeon is a regular season rock. He's a potential star. But look at the teams left. Look at the size of the defensemen. Because that's where you kick people's butts, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's where guys don't get to the net. Guys, and again, the Wild did a very good job of not getting to Ottinger, unfortunately, in the front of the net. But, you know, I think you need to look at that. I think you need to look at Jared Spurgeon and the investment, and you need to say, is this guy a playoff player? Brodin did not have a good playoff, but I'd be much more inclined to keep him. And Spurgeon's got a full no-move clause, so he's staying put. But I'm just saying these discussions need to take place, because when this salary cap hell ends after another 2 years, I think you need to be prepared to do some tough things. I think Faber is a potential star. Mm-hmm. I think he's a marvelous. I mean, he stepped in and was just seamless. And so, yeah, here's one. Do you bring back or trade Marcus Foligno? Because I might trade him. I like him. I don't think he's who I thought, though. I thought he was captain material. And I'll tell you right now, I don't think they have one. If I cared enough, I wouldn't have Spurgeon be my captain. But it's going to be such a fluid process.
Yeah.
Seth, I'm not sure about you. And Bill Guerin would hate this. I don't think making the playoffs next season should be the priority. I don't want trades made. I don't want deadline trades made. I don't want veterans brought in. Why did you trade for Sundqvist? He's been to two Stanley. He's won two cups. He gives you like the grinder that Foligno is, with far more knowledge of winning games. And he was sitting by us.
Yeah.
Like, what was the point with that? Like, you give him a draft pick for, and he didn't play poorly. I'm not trying to rip him at all. I'm exonerating him. But why did you trade for him? You know, Foligno took 36 minutes in penalties. The officials were targeting him. Like, if worst case, conspiracy. The officials were watching him. Okay, scratch him, put Sundqvist in. It's the same guy. One's got two rings. So I'm done with this. And look, I don't blame them. They took two chances. But I really think 23-24 has to be focused on the kids, development, a realization that you don't have to speed this up so all the kids get here at the same time. I don't even want that. Rossi has to play.
Yep.
Again, I do not want to. I don't care what he does. I don't want to see him benched. I want to see him play. I don't want to see Dean bringing the big hand of, well, son, if you're not more like Ryan Hartman, you're not on my team. No, dude, that don't work anymore. This team, you got to figure out what you have. And you've got 2 years. The last thing I'll say is this, too, because there's this whole, well, what about Kaprizov? Is he going to get upset? What's Kaprizov going to do? First of all, Kaprizov wants to win, okay? They're not winning. Second of all, his disappearance in two of the three playoffs is concerning. I don't know what it takes to, you know, against the Blues, what, 7 goals in 6 games?
Yeah.
But 2 times he's played Peter DeBoer coach teams, I think he has 2 goals in all those games, 13 games. But I can't be primarily concerned about Kaprizov when, one, he was pretty much guilty of a no-show, and two, I want to win a Stanley Cup here. I don't want to make one guy happy. And right now, you are nowhere near that.
Yeah.
You're nowhere near that. I'm watching these teams bust their ass every night in the second round. And again, the amount of heart that has to be put into that is enormous. And right now, guess what? I think that we are, for the most part, seeing Toronto say, we won around good enough. Marner, Matthews, Tavares to a certain degree. Where are they?
Yeah.
So the Wild's not alone. The Wild's not alone. But I have no interest in this continuing, going back to 2015, cycle of, well, yeah, too bad. Here's our reasoning. Screw that. Make a playoff run. It's possible. 2003, third year, the Kraken's in year two, the Wild in year three, you know, made playoff runs. You're capable of doing it. You need to get the formula right.
Yeah, 100%. And all just to finish up, you talk about Marcus Foligno bringing that physicality. How about a guy we talk about on this show a lot, Brandon Duhaim, who is not as big, but he plays every inch as physical. He is like 6 years younger than Foligno is. You can get him for cheaper, free up some cap space, give him an opportunity to develop into one of those guys. Said it when they traded Jordan Greenway. He can give you the physicality that you would be missing out on if you move some of those guys.
Absolutely. And I actually think that he is, that Duhaim's more skilled.
Yeah.
Like when he has been taken off the fourth line, God forbid, and put on the third line, he's done some really nice things. But yeah, it's just, it's time to look at, and I thought the Parisi Suter teams became despicable. Like, I did not like those teams. This team I actually like. Mm-hmm. Like it's not bad guys. It's not, I don't think it's me first guys. I think it's guys who genuinely would like to win, don't know how. But I really, you know, I think that this team needs to develop its youth and probably at the end of the day, find that one big, probably a defenseman who can wear the C and knows how to win. It's why the Sundqvist thing, which seems small, bugged me. Guy's got two rings. Why is he watching? Like your guys, who's got rings down there? You know, who's got rings? And it's like, well, Foligno's our guy. He has to play. No, he doesn't. There's no rule about that. You know, Dean, ruffling feathers, this is hockey. It's fine. Juggle your lines. And if someone gets pissed, c'est la vie, too bad.
Yeah.
You're trying to win. So, yeah, this is, I do like this team. I don't think the formula is still right. And they're going to have to continue to try different things. But I do think that as far as a playoff run goes, they definitely do not have the right coach.
Judd, appreciate the time tremendously. We'll have to do this again as the offseason unfolds, but listeners, make sure you're checking out Judd's Hockey Show for another elite dose of Minnesota Wild offseason hockey as we watch everybody else play. So that will do it for today's episode of Locked On Wild. Make sure you're tuning in each and every day to our content throughout the week. You can find all of it as part of the Locked On Podcast Network.